Venezuela,
Brasil,
Argentina,
Ecuador,
Bolivia,
Uruguay,
Paraguay,
Nicaragua,
Salvador,
Cuba.
With 10 left-wing governments in power today, Latin America is leading the world in implementing progressive social change.
Demonized by the North American mainstream media, a revolution is taking place in Latin America as many governments reject U.S. imperialist domination and neoliberalism in favor of socialism, social democracy, and integration.
From the 1950s to the 1990s, the United States subjected Latin America to 18 military dictatorships and neoliberalism. The dictatorships killed about 1 million people, and neoliberalism impoverished many countries.
The Latin American Revolution is the people's answer to these U.S. imperial strategies. This remarkable process is the result of decades of struggle by political parties and social and guerrilla movements inspired by Latin America's liberator, Simón Bolívar, and its best-known revolutionary, Che Guevara.
La revolución.
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 Revolución. Revolución latinoamericana.
You're listening to The Latin American Revolution, a four-part radio documentary. I'm Kristen Schwartz.
I'm Asad Ismi. Most of the interviews in this documentary were recorded at the 2009 World Social Forum held in Belém, Brazil.
This is Bolivia, the Indigenous Revolution, the second episode in our series. Under the leadership of Latin America's first indigenous president, Evo Morales, Bolivia has been undergoing remarkable social changes. For the next half hour, we focus on the Bolivian struggle.
The world is being shaken by many crises of finances, energy, climate, food, and institutions. But all of these crises are part of one big crisis that is being experienced by the capitalist system. If we, the peoples of the world, are not able to bury capitalism, this same capitalism will bury our planet. And that is why, sisters and brothers, it is our great responsibility to stand up and defend humanity itself. This crisis presents us with a great opportunity to build a different world, just as long as we are willing to employ an alternative model. If we are not able to create this new alternative model opposite to capitalism, this system will continue to destroy our planet as it agonizes.
That was President Evo Morales of Bolivia speaking at the 2009 World Social Forum in Belém, Brazil. Inspired by the examples of President Chavez in Venezuela and Che Guevara and Fidel Castro in Cuba, Morales has launched an indigenous socialist revolution in his country. 62% of Bolivia's population of 9 million is indigenous. This majority has long been kept in poverty and denied power, land, education, medical care, and its resources by a small white elite, which has been a puppet of the U.S. government and multinational corporations. Bolivia is the poorest country in South America, and about two-thirds of its citizens live in poverty. Morales, a former coca farmer from a poor family, was initially elected in 2005 as the country's first native president with 53% of the vote. He is from the Aymara Nation.
In December 2009, Morales was re-elected by a landslide, making him the most popular president in Bolivian history. Morales got 67% of the vote, more than twice that obtained by his nearest rival, and his party, known as Movement Towards Socialism, or MAS, took two-thirds of the seats in the National Assembly. The result has destroyed three right-wing political parties that have shared the presidency between them for the last 20 years.
Morales is popular because his government has spent the last 4 years redistributing Bolivia's wealth from its elite and multinational corporations to the country's native majority. He has nationalized Bolivia's oil and gas reserves, the second largest in Latin America. These resources were formerly controlled by foreign companies. As in Venezuela, Morales is also redistributing wealth through land reform and by expanding education and medical care.
In January 2009, the Morales government's new constitution, which empowers the indigenous majority, was approved in a popular referendum. This is Latin America's first indigenous constitution after 500 years of genocide, during which 100 million native people have been killed by European invaders. The survivors in Bolivia and other countries have been treated as subhuman. Morales emphasized the historic significance of the new constitution in his speech at the Belém World Social Forum, just days after the referendum.
Sisters and brothers, I want to let you all know that this Sunday past in Bolivia, we have turned the page on neoliberalism and colonialism. Thanks in part to the social conscience of our people, we have placed a permanent lock in our constitution that will prevent any future privatization of our natural resources as well as all social services. With this new state constitution, a product of 500 years of struggle, we have accomplished the full recognition of the rights of the indigenous and first peoples of Bolivia.
Cynthia Cineros is indigenous and a journalist who worked for the Morales government. Her job was to travel throughout Bolivia explaining the new constitution to the people before it was voted on.
So then the reality which we have been facing for quite some time has been marked by a violence that was systemic. It was one of continued exclusion that failed to convey or address our true realities. The democratic revolution we are in the midst of is managing to give dignity back to a people who are tired of living with their heads bowed down. It is also demonstrating to our people for the very first time in our recent history that they can determine their own destiny.
The Morales Constitution decolonizes Bolivia by creating a plurinational state which gives equal rights to all of Bolivia's 36 peoples and makes native nations sovereign or autonomous.
Mainly, this constitution has included the indigenous communities and nations as a collective subject with indisputable rights. On the first section of this new constitution, it makes a point to recognize the 36 ethnicities that form part of Bolivia. It recognizes their importance and the need for their inclusion. This means that indigenous peoples may participate as members of a community or nation, as well as individual citizens of Bolivia.
Rosemarie Irusta is of indigenous descent from Bolivia. She works with the non-governmental organization Habitat for Women, which is active throughout Bolivia and Latin America. She lives in the city of Cochabamba. We spoke to her at the 2009 World Social Forum in Belém.
La posición del pueblo indígena también muy importante. En un momento han estado...
The role of indigenous people is also of great importance. Long ago, they were not acknowledged. Everyone carried on as if they did not exist. They were not empowered and would not come out and say, I am here, or I am of this ethnicity. Many of us Bolivians were not aware that we had in total 36 different ethnicities or indigenous nations in this country. Now we know. Most of us only knew of the Quechuas and the Aymaras, but we did not know of the Guaranis or of the Guarayos and many others. And this revolution has made them visible, has allowed us to acknowledge one another and to recognize their existence.
Traditional methods of Aboriginal government, community justice, and healing are now officially recognized as being equal to current law and science. Indigenous communities can now apply their own justice, control resources that the central government supplies, and act to preserve their languages and customs.
Tomas Juanacu represents the National Council of Ayas and Marcas of Cuyasuyu, or CONAMAC, an important indigenous organization in Bolivia made up of the Aymara and Quechua nations. Ayas are extended family communities, Marcas cover a wider area, and Cuyasuyu denotes the Bolivian highlands. Here, Juanacu is speaking at the Belém World Social Forum.
And where does this overriding right, this entitlement as indigenous peoples come from? It stems from the understanding that we are the children of our mother nature, of our Pachamama.
Ya no es la educación occidental.
We need to turn away from that Western education models which domesticize us, which turns us into subordinates. We are the stewards of these lands. We are the ones who the land belongs to.
Somos propietarios de estas tierras. Somos dueños de las tierras. Y los invasores son los que viven felices, son los que viven bien alimentados.
Yet, the invaders are the ones who live happily. They are the ones who are well-fed. They don't even make up 50% of the world's population. It's a mere 5% of humanity that controls us. We have to fight against this injustice. We have to fight, to struggle, to organize, to unite, and fight together. This needs to be the recommendations made to this World Social Forum.
Eso debe ser la recomendación del Foro Social Mundial.
Morales' first significant step towards empowering native Bolivians was to ensure that they controlled their natural resources. On May 1, 2006, the president nationalized Bolivia's oil and gas sector, which was controlled by foreign multinational corporations. He declared, quote, "The looting by the foreign companies has ended. The time has come, the awaited day, a historic day, in which Bolivia retakes absolute control of our natural resources," unquote. Oil and gas are Bolivia's biggest export revenue earners. The Center for International Policy in Washington, D.C. described the nationalization in these words. In a single sweep of the pen, Bolivian President Evo Morales has rearranged the continent's entire geopolitical map.
Morales also nationalized mining companies, the biggest telecommunications company, and has moved to nationalize electricity companies. All three sectors are dominated by foreign multinationals, whom Morales has blamed for Bolivia's poverty, saying that they have plundered the country's mineral and energy riches. In the oil and gas sector, a major effect of the nationalization was to increase revenues for the government about five times.
Sabina Gonzalez is from the province of Tarija in Bolivia. She works with the Tarija Housing and Tenants Federation, and we spoke to her at the World Social Forum in Belém.
Through the nationalization of our industries, most importantly in the hydrocarbon sector, as well as other resources previously under control of multinationals, we have seen more development. Before, they used to say that this nationalization could not be done and would not work. But we are gaining back our sovereignty, and in the same manner, we are giving our nation back its sovereignty.
De los llanos orientales a las cumbres andinas, del Madre de Dios al Pilcomayo, todos juntos somos Bolivia y seremos muchos más. Tahuantinsuyo, pueblos hermanos, el Collasuyo se levantó.
Quechuas, aymaras y guaraníes, un solo canto haremos vibrar.
Es por la lucha nuestra vivencia, Bolivia entera se nacerá. Despertamos nuevas conciencias y llevaremos el pueblo al poder.
Seremos más,
más, más, más, ya somos más. El Tataín te alumbra más,
más, más. Al nuevo alba seremos más,
más, más, más, ya somos más. A someternos nunca más.
Morales has used the increased revenues generated by nationalization to give the people free health care and education.
Viendo primero, digamos, sobre el tema de la
First of all, when speaking about the democratic revolution that Bolivia is undergoing, let's first address the issue of health care. We have witnessed a change, a revolutionary change, in terms of the new policies that our president has implemented. This is especially true in the redistribution of revenue made from resources such as hydrocarbons amongst the various municipalities in our country, so that these can be invested in health care and education programs.
A los diferentes municipios para el tema que es de salud y educación.
The provision of free health care and education has reduced Bolivia's infant mortality rate from 54 per 1,000 babies to 50 and wiped out illiteracy. Both achievements have been attained with the help of Cuban doctors and teachers. Before Morales came to power, Bolivia had the highest illiteracy rate in South America at 45%. This has been eradicated in only 4 years. The government has built 545 health facilities, performed free vision operations for 425,000 people, constructed 269 school buildings, and increased teacher salaries by 30%. We hear from Rosemary Irusta.
En la salud, bueno, ha sido posible una...
With regards to health care, there have been coordinated efforts with Cuba involving teams of Cuban doctors that have provided services to the most remote areas in the country. These are places where our own doctors had refused to work in the past. These Cuban doctors continue to deliver high-quality services to our people with human warmth and great care.
En la educación también ha mejorado.
Our education system has also improved. Bigger schools have been built. The number of openings has increased so more students can enroll. There's also a literacy campaign in place that also counts on the support of Cuban experts. So now in Bolivia, we say zero illiteracy in Bolivia. This is the truth. This campaign to improve our education is happening in all provinces and most remote areas in our country.
Additionally, since 2006, the government has launched several programs for the poorest Bolivians. These include payments to poor families who send their children to school, universal public pensions for the elderly, and payments to mothers to expand care for them and their babies before and after the women give birth. Here is Tomás Wanaku.
La anterior gestión de gobierno que estaba administrado por la derecha, por la oligarquía, han dejado leyes.
The previous government in power was controlled by the right wing and the oligarchy, and it left laws in place that have stalled advancement in terms of health care and education. However, the current government of Evo Morales has launched new policies of assistance which provide 200 bolivianos to all the children enrolled in primary and secondary school.
De asistencia con 200 bolivianos a todos los niños que están en las escuelas y en los colegios.
Despite its wealth of natural resources, Bolivia has long been the poorest country in Latin America. A crucial reason for this has been the stealing of land from the native people by the white elite. Bolivia has one of the most unequal land ownership patterns in the world, with two-thirds of the land being owned by 1% of the population. Indigenous people control less than 10% of the land. In eastern Bolivia, 62 million acres of agricultural land is managed by 100 families, while the remaining 12 million acres is shared by 2 million families.
The Morales government's new constitution calls for the expropriation of large landholdings and for the redistribution of land amongst those who produce for the benefit of society. Landholdings have been limited to 12,400 acres or 5,000 hectares. The government has redistributed 26 million hectares of land to about 100,000 families. Tomás Wanaku.
Precisamente este último referéndum hemos votado para que los terratenientes ya no tengan.
In this last referendum, we firmly voted in favor of allowing a maximum of 5,000 hectares per land holding. This brings to a halt the previous system which granted private landowners and agribusinesses the ownership of hundreds of thousands of hectares of prime land.
Las empresas agrarias.
And here is Rosemary Irusta.
The majority chose 5,000. We feel that this is land enough to work and provide for oneself, to have a stable agricultural sector, and to support cattle raising activities. This helps us strike a balance so that we avoid having a few who have possession of most of the available land.
Along with the indigenous majority, the Morales government has also empowered another majority that is just as important, that of women. Half of the cabinet in the Morales government is made up of women.
En el gobierno de Evo Morales se ha visto muy fuerte el posicionamiento de las mujeres porque muchas de
The government of Evo Morales has strongly helped empower women. Many of them have been placed in positions of influence. At this moment, we have a woman in charge of the Ministry of Justice. She is also an indigenous person who lacks a title or training as a lawyer, but certainly makes up for it with her extensive knowledge of human rights. She is also assisted by trained legal counsel. This nomination, we believe, was very important, since it showed that both women and indigenous people are capable and are able to take on these roles, though we have not had access to formal education. Still, we have managed to improve our lives and are committed to this process of self and political awareness that has led us to this point where we find ourselves.
Sabina González.
Pero ahora con este nuevo gobierno se ha visto más, ¿no? Entonces ha habido.
We see more women working in the ministries and vice ministries, occupying positions as ministers and delegates, and they are part of the decision-making process. They are not tokens, but make decisions. They have power. This is what we have witnessed.
Están ahí ellas ahí, no, sino que tomando decisiones tienen poder, ¿no? Entonces hemos visto.
This is very important. We women are protagonists in this revolution. We have seen and facilitated, we have initiated and participated, and I believe we form part of this revolutionary process.
The success of the Bolivian Revolution is a major defeat for U.S. imperialism, which has kept Bolivia poor and oppressed for decades. Bolivia has long been dominated by the United States, which has imposed vicious military dictatorships on it, led by mass murderers, cocaine traffickers, and Nazis. The U.S. has treated Bolivia with such horrific contempt that it placed a notorious Nazi as a senior security assistant to two Bolivian dictatorships that Washington put in power. The Nazi was SS officer Klaus Barbie, a genocidal monster who was involved in the killing of more than a million people in the Second World War. For his murdering skills, Barbie was recruited by U.S. intelligence after the war and brought to Bolivia to help suppress revolutionary movements.
Barbie was a close security advisor to and longtime friend of General Hugo Banzer, who took over Bolivia after a bloody military coup in 1970. Barbie helped plan the coup, and for this was made an honorary colonel. The Banzer coup was known for its extreme violence, which included the killing of more than 3,000 leftists and union organizers, the suppression of tin miners, and the shutting down of universities. An even more violent coup, also planned by Barbie, took place in 1980 and was led by General Garcia Mesa. This time, Barbie was made head of Bolivia's internal security forces. The regime gathered thousands of opposition leaders in the capital La Paz soccer stadium and shot them en masse, dumping their bodies in rivers.
This military takeover became known as the cocaine coup because General Garcia Mesa made Bolivia the world's leading supplier of cocaine. The Bolivian generals made $2 billion from the cocaine trade in 1981 alone. U.S. imposed Bolivian military dictatorships were followed by 20 years of neoliberal governments, also controlled from Washington, which lasted from 1985 until Morales' election in 2005. These governments looted Bolivia's resources in league with multinational companies and impoverished its population. When Morales came to power, the U.S. tried to overthrow him by using its ambassador, Philip Goldberg, to foment a violent secessionist movement in the eastern provinces of Santa Cruz, Pando, Beni, and Tarija.
Morales reacted by expelling the U.S. ambassador and jailing the governor of Pando for killing 15 peasants. Morales has also kicked out the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration and the U.S. Agency for International Development from Bolivia. These moves have been popular among Bolivians such as Sabina Gonzalez and Rosemary Irusta.
Esto es importante, ¿no? La liberación que tienen los pueblos, no solamente en Bolivia, sino que ya se está viendo en Latinoamérica.
Our people's liberation is of great importance. We are observing that people in Bolivia and the rest of Latin America are losing their fear of that monster we know as the United States. We are making them respect our rights as nations. And we should make note that if our president is not happy with the actions taken by foreign ambassadors assigned to Bolivia, he would ask them to leave. The same goes for certain organizations that were asked to leave from the province of Chapare. The same goes for their ambassadors in Bolivia, because they need to show us respect.
Embajador que se tenía en Bolivia porque tiene que haber respeto, ¿no? Para los bolivianos.
La liberación de las personas del dominio imperialista. Creo que esto ha sido...
Gaining back our freedom from the imperialist powers has been very important, not only for our country, but for the rest of Latin America. The right wing has suffered a great shock to its economy, that sector that they used to control. We, the masses, welcome this shock, despite years of conditioning. They always gave us the crumbs. They locked us in a constant state of debt. So we spent more than we made, which in turn kept us begging for whatever little money they would dispense, when in reality, their wealth was made from the resources that belonged to all of us. The imperialists signed agreements and treaties with previous governments. They took advantage of us then, but now they are no longer able to do so. We are humbly proud of our president, who has made us recognize that no one has the right to own anyone else. And the U.S. imperialism needs to understand that humans are beings and not objects.
Tiene que entender que las personas existimos como personas, no como objetos.
The Bolivian victory over U.S. imperialism so far has been specially inspired by Che Guevara. Che was killed in Bolivia in October 1967 by the U.S.-directed military. He had come to start the Latin American Revolution. In 2009, Evo Morales spoke at a tribute to the guerrilla hero, calling him invincible in his ideals. Morales added, "And in all this history, after so many years, Che inspires us to continue fighting, changing not only Bolivia, but all of Latin America, and better the world."
You have been listening to Bolivia, the Indigenous Revolution, the second episode of the documentary series, The Latin American Revolution.
The Latin American Revolution is dedicated to the memory of Che Guevara.
This documentary was written by Asad Ismi and produced by Kristen Schwartz. Go to www.asadismi.ws to download the series.
Translation in this episode by Susie Alvarez.
Theme music is Seis por Derecho and El Gabán by Egberto Chiridos and Henry Rubio of Venezuela from the album Festival Vianero. In this episode, you also heard Somos Más by Luis Alberto Aguilar.
Narration by Asad Ismi and Kristen Schwartz. Voiceover in this episode by Michael Brito, Amandeep Panag, Dr. Maria Paz Victor, Raul Borbano, and Rachel Warden.
Special thanks to Susie Alvarez, Sarah Larrero, Alini Santos, and to Danae Parrott and Kevin Shaw at CHRY 105.5 FM for studio facilities.
This documentary was funded by Canadian Union of Postal Workers National,
CUPW Local 576 North Bay,
Canadian Union of Public Employees Local 3903,
Ontario Public Service Employees Union,
Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation,
Ontario English Catholic Teachers Association,
Public Service Alliance of Canada,
and the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. Thank you for listening.